This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Do you smell it in the air? It's a comeback. That's right. LEFCO, surging, ready to take down Sims. Each have $1,600 to bet on 4 wildcard games. The minimum could be 10, the maximum could be 1,570. 4 choices, 1 winner. The playoffs begin now. Sims, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Fedrick, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
What is your obsession that we can't start the podcast on a normal conversation, that we have to make the normal corny intro?
It doesn't have to be corny.
What?
But you can't be talking over the intro music.
Says
because
who?
It's a problem for editing. Says me, because I edit it with Jake.
Why? What is so
That's
hard?
Why.
What's
what is
up?
So
Shout
hard?
Do you want to come and sit and edit with me today?
Absolutely
Shout out
not.
Let's go sit. We'll sit in the edit bay together, and I'll show you how it all comes together.
But what do you have to edit if we're having a nice conversation with music?
Because if you're cut off, when I'm not explaining this to you. LEFCO, start the podcast. Just start the podcast.
We've already started.
I know. Because if you're cut off and the music's playing and the beat drops, it doesn't sound good. It just doesn't work.
All right, so
that's why.
The random story I was going to tell was that we did our show. Chris Johnson was on. He challenged. He believes that there's a conspiracy that John Ross did not beat his 40 time of 4-2-4.
Right.
I go on Twitter last night, and this guy that I guess is like a publicity guy or
PR guy
for the laser 40 times at the combine was like, this is not actually factually correct. We stand by our technology, something like that.
Right.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, wait, are you a gatekeeper to like a laser 40 time machine?
Right.
Because I would like to just time my friends.
Well,
I was like, I would like to have Sims run it.
Oh,
I'd
you
like
can
Fendrick
just buy
to run
it anywhere. I can
I
show
like,
you how to set it up.
I was like, I know T.O. and Ocho Cinco. I'd like them to do it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but I don't want to pay for it.
Right.
I want this publicity guy to give it to me. He goes, I'm happy to come on your program and dispel this conspiracy theory. And I was like,
because there's no one I'd rather interview.
Yeah. And
than
I was like,
PR guy for
no,
the
not
laser
only,
timer.
And not only that, fuck you. I want this conspiracy theory to live on. I think Chris Johnson beat it, and I don't want you to come in with your facts
well,
to ruin this.
Well, this
Chris
is...
Johnson ran the fastest 40 time in the history of the world, and the NFL Network lied because it was the island year, and John Ross was not wearing the Adidas, and they didn't want to give it to him, and they were like, let's make history. I love that conspiracy theory, and I'd rather have that conspiracy theory exist.
Well, you're saying than... John Ross, he wasn't wearing Adidas, so he didn't?
Yeah, remember it was the year of the island. If you're wearing those Adidas shoes, you can win an island.
Right.
And like he was wearing Nikes.
Yeah, right.
But I love that conspiracy
so
theory.
So that would add to the fact that so they would give it to him though, just because it's not an island?
No, it was in the year where there was more attention because
right.
of the island. So
gotcha.
It created news waves with a 4-2-2
gotcha.
From John Ross. And I'm just saying I sometimes want conspiracy theories to possibly exist.
Yeah.
I don't need you coming in with your facts.
Yeah. I mean, and listen.
I believe that in about 15 years, avocados will be proven to be really bad for people.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy theory I have.
Yeah, it's just a dumb theory. It's really not even conspiracy.
You're
usually
right.
Conspiracy
you're right. You're right.
Theory.
You're right. Yeah. 20 years.
The issue is not with the laser, too, Johnny Laser Man on the Twitter
yeah.
feed, okay?
You're right.
It has nothing to do with the laser. I mean,
it's like a bold-faced lie.
It means nothing. No, the biggest issue with the 40 timing at the NFL Combine, it all again goes back to human error, and again goes back to anything with the NFL. They want to save $7 on something because they make $17 billion a year, just like NFL Jesus or NFL.com. The digitalness of that two sites is pitiful, and that's a digitalness. Is,
holy crap.
It's as good as... That's as good
what
as...
What does that even
mean? Yeah,
I didn't get to tell you about this.
The digitalness.
It means my English is as good as their damn websites as far as when it comes to digital quality.
Time out. Wait,
does.
But
yes.
What was the human error of
so
the 40
the human
time?
Error of the 40 time, getting to that, is that a human is in charge of the start, and that's the problem.
Oh, so it's not like crossing a plane?
No, it's not. Has nothing to do with that. Now, if you went to a real place that was going to time and really do it, like the place I used to work out at, Parisi's in New Jersey, you get in your position and you have a thumb pad. So then when your thumb comes off, that's the clock starts, okay? So that's how you
do
it.
That actually makes a lot
but now
of sense.
We're, well, of course it does. But the NFL has a guy that just sits there and waits for you to move and start. So one time he can start it early and one time he can start it late.
I looked at their website. There were sensors. Looked like you cross a certain plane, you cross another plane.
Well, no, there's
plane.
A 10, a 20. There's a. What do you mean? What are you talking about? I know that this is, they start with a hand time.
How many times have you been to the combine?
Yeah, more than you.
That's actually
that's right.
True.
I walked in to help him do his addition this morning for his bets, and he's sitting there just cursing out NFL Jesus as he tries to reload the schedule over and over again.
Well, I know exactly what your problem was. Well, my problem was I went on NFL Jesus today, and officially they always do this on Thursdays.
Oh, the default posts, or they went to postseason?
Default post.
Yeah.
Now, every time I go to schedules, it shows me the postseason, and it's another click I got to do.
Yeah, it's another thing. They've saved 7 cents on that.
No,
they didn't
that's
want
not.
That.
No, they, that's.
But I'm talking about whether if you're on a normal. Fish. Yeah, it's horrible. It shouldn't go to that. I mean, nobody wants to see the postseason schedule that doesn't exist yet. So that's stupid. Okay, on their part.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point, Chris. You're right. And
well,
then
no.
It doesn't matter. It's stupid. It's stupid. The other way you explain it, it's stupid. And the real point is when I'm on a full schedule and then you go to try to go to a team-specific schedule, it sits
and
there and
back.
Loads right, and then you have to press back again so it goes to the schedule.
This is literally 1% of our audience.
That's all right. I don't care. I just want them to know. The NFL cheaped out on that, too.
All right. So how are we doing this today, Josh?
All right. So we talked about this on Monday, but just to recap.
You're fucking insane.
All right. So coming out of Week 17, Sims, you are sitting at 590 Bleacher Bucks. Lefko, you are sitting at 160 Bleacher Bucks. And then just in case you care, records overall for the year. Sims, you are 127, 121, and 7. And Lefko, you are 123, 125, and 7.
Whoop, 4 games better than you and money leader. Woo!
All right, so the way this is going to work today, we'll do it like usual, only 4 games. So we're going to talk for about 15 minutes on each. I will give the game and the line and the weather.
First thing is this.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown was in our building yesterday. He dressed up in a costume to avoid attention.
No, that's I don't think that's what it was.
What was
there
it?
Was a show
right.
that just aired last night called The Masked Singer.
Right.
And it's about people that go up there with huge elaborate masks on.
Right.
And they sing. And then the judges have to guess who it is.
Right.
And Antonio Brown apparently was a contestant on that show, I guess was in a hippopotamus outfit. Can you look and see if he was on this show?
I checked his social. I didn't see
it. Didn't see
but
it.
What about the show?
Yeah.
You just type in the mask.
Well, either way, he was
Antonio
online
Brown.
To get a pass to get in the building, and he was still wearing his costume, which tells you he didn't want to be seen.
He was on the show, and he was going up to apparently the 25th floor, which is a CBS office.
Yeah. Did you hear the reports today? They're coming out a little bit that a lot of unnamed people are feeling that part of the blow-up was the fact that Juju Smith-Schuster was named team MVP.
Albert Breer wrote that.
Yeah, right. And I think somebody else has corroborated that as well.
What is the percentage? What is the percentage? Did you post online our take that Juju Smith-Schuster may be a better wide receiver than Antonio Brown?
I mean, it was the title of the YouTube podcast when
we did that. Is there any chance that somehow Antonio Brown saw that?
Yeah, he was coming here.
And it... Well,
to beat your ass.
Take it. All right, so how are we doing this today?
Okay, so today it'll be pretty much like usual. I will give the game, I will give the line, I will give the weather. I'll kick it over to Chris for your full breakdown on the game. Lefko will come in with his thoughts on the game and break it down, give his bet, and then we can talk about it at the end for longer than we normally do because we don't have 16 games to get through.
And yeah. I am not going to interrupt you once.
Whoa.
Helping out Enrique here.
Whoa.
During your section.
Okay.
Big
after
post-season.
I go, I can interrupt you as much as you want. As much as I want.
All right. So first game here, guys. At 4, what time is the game on Saturday? 4:25.
Wow, first game's at 12 something, I think?
4:35.
Oh, you're right.
4:35
Saturday,
on Saturday. The Indianapolis Colts visiting the Houston Texans. Spread in this game for us is Houston minus 1.5. It has moved to 2 at some of the casinos.
Oh.
Weather forecast for Houston, do we care? No?
Not
sunny
really.
Sunny on Saturday, 68 is the high.
Okay.
Just to let you know.
That's nice.
Take it away, Chris.
Nice, comfortable day. Okay.
Houston doesn't feel like a dome to me.
No, it's got well, it's a grass field, so that's what makes it feel a little different
that's
right off
why.
The bat. And it can open up. So it opens up. It's not a true dome.
Yeah. No, but the playing surface is...
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, it's a great stadium. That's the first thing I'll say. I don't think it's the greatest advantage as far as home field advantage. But I think the first thing is this, right? This is where let's start off at a base level. Okay, the Houston Texans are, oddly enough, and we don't think about this because I think when we think about teams, we just go Luck versus Watson, right? But the Houston Texans have playoff experience. I mean, they have a lot of players on their team who have played in playoff football and in big-time games, whether it was the Houston Texans or some other team. So they're not going to be shocked here. The Colts, on the other hand, do not really. They have a few guys here and there, Andrew Luck, Jabal Sheard. There's a few here and there. But I just mean relatively, I think they're the more younger team. Not putting a whole lot of stock into that either way, but just throwing that out there. I think the thing where we start is the Colts O versus the Texans D. And you've heard me say this a lot during the week. This is one of the worst matchups for the Houston Texans in the whole playoffs. I mean, I really do believe that. It stinks that they got to deal with this team because, you know, they have the kryptonite to stop the great pass rush of the Houston Texans. And I think that's the first thing I look at. And you've heard me say it a few times during the week, so I'm sorry for you to have to hear it for the third time. But regardless, yes, this is, you know, arguably... It's definitely one of the three best O-lines in football, and it's definitely one of the three best pass-protecting O-lines in football, right? And that's where I worry about the Houston Texans. It's one of the worst pass defenses with the Houston Texans. They don't have great man-to-man corners. It will be important for Jonathan Joseph to be back playing better this week, or 100% healthy, I should say. The other thing I would say with the Houston Texans, I wish they would be a little more base and simple on their coverages. They go for the kill too much, right, Lefko, where they go like, oh, we got them in 3rd and 9. Let's make it 4th and 22. And I want to just go, let's just make it 4th and 2 and make them punt.
I was just going to add, so for a lot of these games, I went back and watched a ton of the highlights.
Yeah, great.
Like full packages.
Sure.
The amount of times that I saw Houston bringing two defenders, like extra defenders or three, in like 3rd and whatever,
yeah,
it was like every time I watched the game.
Yeah.
It's they're bringing two linebackers or a linebacker and a safety. They just sell out all the time.
They do too many dumb or over-aggressive things in big situations that allow them to be burned. I mean, just whether it goes back to your Eagles game with a set 90-yard bomb over Tyrone Matthews' head to Nelson Aguilar.
And they have Watt, Clowney, Reader, Covington.
I know.
The one team that doesn't need to do
that. They don't need to do it. Exactly right. And they don't even really need to do some of these, like, you know, intricate coverages that they do at times where I just go, there's just no need. Just play basic. You're talented enough and good enough to not have to take those chances. So the big thing is, yes, can they get pass pressure? The one thing I'll look up with the pass pressure, I think this is one thing for all viewers to watch out for, and it was a little bit of an issue, or it can be an issue this game, is Braden Smith against J.J. Watt in pass protection, okay?
I have not heard a negative thing about Braden Smith all year.
It's so pretty talented. But
yeah,
it's just,
what are you going to say?
Well, it's just a rookie, okay, who's got to deal with a guy who's a very well-schooled pass rusher who gave Braden Smith a few issues the first time they – or not the first time, the second time they played a few weeks ago. What was that, 4 or 5 weeks ago now?
Week 14.
So there is one thing I do look at, and I would expect the Colts in certain situations when they have a good feel to go, oh, they're only rushing 4 and it's J.J. Watt matched up against Braden Smith, that they will do something to just help him out a little bit, whether it's just slide guys that way or have a back chip. But at the end of the day – J.J. Watt's not the guy that I think can ruin the game. The X factor for the Colts Texans defense is Jadeveon Clowney. I will say that, and I will always stand by that, because Jadeveon Clowney can have 0 tackles, 0 pressures, and 0 nothings in the game and be the most disruptive player on the field, and everybody else has the stats, but he ruined like 70% of the plays. He's the guy I look at to go, he could be the one that goes above and beyond and can really make this a mess if he plays extraordinary. I don't expect that to happen because I think that Colts offense is pretty damn good, and I'm worried about Luck having all day long to throw the ball and just striking deep with what we talked about a little bit yesterday is a little bit of an underrated receiving core. I mean, we all talk about T.Y. Hilton, but Ebron's good. The other tight ends are pretty solid, okay? And then you get into the Chester Rogers and the Dontrell Inmans, who are serviceable targets, especially against a secondary like the Houston Texans. Now, flipping it over to the other side of the ball, I don't expect the Houston Texans to be able to run the football. I don't. And I do think there is the possibility to run the ball on the Indianapolis Colts for some teams, but the Texans just are not good enough up front to do it, I don't think.
What are the teams that are able to?
Well, I think it is the big, hulking, physical. Like a team like the Tennessee Titans, if they didn't get into the game they got in last week, I do think eventually if that game could have just stayed close and they could have stayed with it, you're going to bust a run. Just like I told you with the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott ran the ball 17 times for 85 yards. Like, he was having a successful day. They just fell down because they missed some fourth and ones. And
luck will do that
and,
to you.
Well, right. And remember, the Cowboys messed up some fourth and twos, and they had the field goal block, so they fell behind and then couldn't really stay consistent with the run either. But I don't either way, all I'm saying is I don't think the Texans will be able to run the ball on the Colts, period, bar none. Now, the secondary for the Colts is solid. It's nothing special. I like them, but they are going to have to do something, in my opinion, special to stop DeAndre Hopkins. You know, and they don't have to double him, but you have to do something where, okay, if you're going to play zone defense and do all that and have the corner play over the top, then you better have a linebacker always flying out underneath to stop some back shoulders or the hitch routes or anything like that. I'll go with something what my dad said yesterday in our breakdown podcast a little bit, and I think that runs true too. The one thing I worry about with the Colts defense against the Texans is, like my dad said, what do you say, chasing cars or whatever? I do worry about that with the Colts defense. They are a little over-aggressive at times. Mm. They're young.
That was what I was going to add.
They want to attack the football. Right. They want to go after. So that will be something I look at, too, to go, okay, the first time, you know, Watson fakes the ball to Lamar Miller, is he going to come out the backside in a bootleg and be totally scot-free? And they're going to be like, whoa, holy crap, he kept the ball. And then there's going to be a crosser running free. Those are the little things I worry about. And then I also worry about the X factor, which is Deshaun Watson. You know, again, to echo something my dad said again yesterday, I'm going to say it again because it's true, is, yeah, Deshaun Watson could get sacked 10 times in this game. But he could also, on those 10 possible sacks, only get sacked twice and make 8 amazing plays. And when we go, damn, they won the game, they were outplayed, and they had him bottled up, but he broke 4 tackles and made 7 spin moves on those plays where they should have had sacks, yeah. And he threw for 200 yards on those plays.
I feel the same way about Luck.
Yeah, certainly. I get that. So that would be the big thing to me just on that side of the ball. But I think that's a fairly even matchup. And I will say this to add to that one more thing about the Watson thing. I do think Deshaun Watson will have a hard time scrambling, though, as long as they're not too far out of position. I really do. The one thing about the Colts is they're fast on their front seven.
Bro.
Exactly right.
All their D linemen
can run.
They, like, even just like looking at Denico Autry's body,
yes.
I'm like, well put together, dude.
No doubt about it. He's more of like a DN that they like, play a D tackle.
Margus Hunt
right.
is like an extra in Game of Thrones, and I look at him and I go, where is he putting 300?
Yeah, I know.
It's like in his arms and his shoulders.
Right.
It's like well displaced.
Yes.
But they all have good legs.
Hassan
Ridgeway, we know about.
Right. Sheard can run.
Yeah.
You know, you got your Kamiko Torres. You got your Tyquan
and
Lewis.
We know about Maniac.
You got your, yes.
I mean, Darius Leonard is sitting there going,
exactly.
I'm eating Deshaun Watson's bones.
And
on
I feel the same thing with Neil Walker. Is it Neil Walker? Whatever. It's
Paul
Walker.
Walker.
Paul Walker, number
I'm
50.
Just kidding. It's
no, it's not. He's RIP, Paul
R.I.P.
Walker.
R.I.P.
But number 50, Walker, I'm blanking on his first name, but I know he's 50,
Frank.
And I know it's Walker.
I'm guessing.
Think you're wrong. I want to say Neil. I don't know why. But either way, he
Sky.
Is just a step slower than Darius Leonard.
Anthony,
there it is.
Tony Walker.
Tony Walker. But, yeah, so those are the things that I think are intriguing to me about the matchup overall. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm making my pick here, right? And doing
yes,
everything.
You're making your pick.
Okay. So let me just make sure. Okay. I am putting 500.
Wow.
And $80.
And 80.
Yes. 580 on the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow.
Yep. I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to win this game 31-27. And the game is about, I don't even know who I'm rooting for. I think I'm rooting for the Houston Texans, just so everybody knows out there. I'm just going to tell you, I think I am. Just because I like Deshaun Watson. I like Billy O'Brien. I don't know if I'm definitely rooting for them, but I feel like I am. But this is a horrible matchup. I never know until a game comes on. You know that.
So you do have a vested horse in this game then?
I don't know if I do. Playoff games are weird to me. Vested horse. I can go into a game and go, I'm rooting for this team, and a game start, and I go, huh, I'm not rooting for them. I don't know why. But
I'm solely based on who I bet on.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to give you like my stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
I kind of just wrote down everything as I was going through how I pick games.
Right.
So the first thing I did was look at, by the way, I heard that you said this before. You believe that if the Texans can sack Andrew Luck four times.
I say four times or more, then that bodes well that they can win the football
game. So I looked it up. The game the Texans beat the Colts this year, they sacked him four times.
Right.
The game they lost, they sacked him two.
Yeah.
Just a little interesting.
That's funny.
Thing.
I pull those numbers out of my ass.
We know.
Okay. But they're right a lot of the times. That's what I mean. Because it was just a rough estimate of how
first thing I wanted to do was go, I looked at the last game.
Yeah.
I went, damn. T.Y. Hilton had 199 yards and no touchdowns. Do you know how much you have to beat a team's ass and not score and get 199 yards? That was incredible. Also, the Colts had five sacks in that last game.
Yeah.
And I looked and I went, wow, DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson tried to get it to him 10 times and he only caught four.
Right.
And I said, how does Hopkins do against the Colts? Yeah. Because sometimes receivers have big games against other teams.
Yeah.
We learned that this year with A.J. Green against the Ravens.
Sure.
When A.J. Green plays the Ravens, big things happen. And I also wanted to know, Sims always says teams should double-team Hopkins. Let's see how the Colts do.
Right.
In the 11 games Hopkins has faced the Colts, he's only had two games of 100 or more yards.
Mm.
In those 11 games, he's only scored three touchdowns.
Right.
They were in the last three. So overall, the Colts,
yes,
playing the Texans every year, twice a year, seems to hold Hopkins in check, which is a very good thing. The games in Houston, though, never forget that. Houston in that Week 14 game really dominated the first 22 minutes of that game
did.
When you look back.
Right.
And then they let up 17 straight points.
Right.
T.Y. Hilton is a huge problem for Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit banged up right now. But I don't believe there's anyone on the Texans that can run at the gear that T.Y. Hilton can.
Right.
When you watch him play, Jonathan Joseph can't catch him, Kareem Jackson can't catch him, and Tyrann Mathieu's always kind of one step behind him. I went back and looked. T.Y. Hilton has played about 180 games in his NFL career. Of the top four performances in terms of receiving yards, three of them are not just against Houston, they were in Houston.
Wow.
2018 this year, nine catches, 199 yards. Last year, five catches, 175 yards and two touchdowns. And by the way, the quarterback was Jacoby Brissett that game. And 2014, nine catches, 223 yards and one touchdown. Here's what's wild. In 2013, he went 7 for 121 and 3 in Houston.
Mm.
2015, he went 5 for 88 with Matt Hasselbeck as his quarterback. And then in 2012, 3 for 78 and one touchdown. He's really never had a bad performance in Houston. He always goes off. It's a matchup thing. Houston's offense, the last time they played, let the defense down a number of times. The defense gets stops and stops, but you can't keep hoping for your defense to stop Andrew Luck.
No.
And the Houston's offense being basic, I went back and watched three Houston games. It's either wide receiver screens to Hopkins or Demarius and hoping they break something off. It's either a deep ball on the sideline to Hopkins and just going 50-50, or it's, I really hit Lamar Miller, hits a gap.
Right.
I really hope Lamar Miller hits a gap.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's their whole offense. Or Watson running around the
and
side.
And just making a play happen. But you're right. That's the whole offense. And I didn't get to this point, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm doing
wild.
It, so fuck
it's
off, okay? I owe you. You're up in that department like 9,000 to 4. So, but that is a part that I think is interesting. You said about how they get the ball and what they do on offense, and especially the Hopkins part, right? It's down the sidelines or a back shoulder contested throw. The Colts corners, even though they're not great, they're solid. The one thing they have is size and strength.
Mm.
Everything except the kid 27, which I always blank on his name.
It's all right,
I got it here too. Or no, it's 23. It's Kenny Moore. Other than him, the other guys have great size and physical strength. So Hopkins can't necessarily dominate them at the line of scrimmage like he can most corners. Thanks for your help, though.
Also look at this game.
Yeah.
And the last time they played, Indianapolis jumped on the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Houston started making a comeback because I wrote this down in all capital letters. No matter what is going on in a game,
mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson can bring you back.
Yeah.
It is incredible. Mm-hmm. He takes one step, and I looked at the score, and they were down 10, and they're right back in it.
Right.
The thing is, though, this was the game where Jadeveon Clowney jumped off sides. We're sitting at 2 minutes left. It's third and four. Andrew Luck is under center, and he gets Clowney to jump.
Right.
Because in my mind, that's the game that we're going to have on Saturday.
Yeah.
In a crucial time of the game, will Watt and Clowney get to Luck? And so the fact that the last game he got bit for offsides, Clowney is going to be more motivated than ever.
I would think
because
so.
If that ball got back into Sean Watson's hands, yeah. I had a lot of confidence they were going to score.
Sure.
I forgot because I didn't really watch that game. I went back and watched Texans-Jaguars.
Right.
And I went, damn, Bortles even had a few opportunities to beat them deep in that game.
No doubt about it.
Like, and he just missed them.
Missed them.
He
right.
really did.
Yep.
Also, at the end of that game, mm-hmm. Watson converted four straight third downs to waste 6 minutes in that game. So they were operating at a very high level just in terms of their offense and sure. being comfortable, good tight end usage and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It came down to this statistic, though, that blew me away.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, this entire season, has been sacked 18 times.
Right.
In the last 4 weeks,
yeah.
Deshaun Watson has been sacked 21 times.
Yeah, right.
In the end, I have more confidence that the Colts are going to win this game. I have more confidence in the coach. I have a lot of confidence in Eberflus looking at the Texans' offense and deducing it down to what it is.
I agree.
I have the Colts winning 31-30, and I am putting $10 on the Colts.
That's a tight one.
The other random factoid that I have from this game.
Yeah.
There are seven teams in the NFL whose cities, the first letter is shared by nobody. Atlanta shares A with Arizona. Philadelphia shares P with Pittsburgh. Do not pull up the teams right now.
I'm not.
There are seven teams.
Right.
Two of them are outliers. Oakland shares their O with nobody. Washington shares their no with shares their W with nobody. But there are five letters right in the middle, all next to each other, that are all individuals. G-I-H-G-H-I-J-K. What do you know? Green Bay, Houston, Indy, Jacksonville, Kansas City. They're the only five. They're all next to each other. And I always think when those teams play each other, it's a great battle. Houston, Indy. H versus I, the battle of the alphabet. I had a daddy cigar when I made my picks last night. Can you tell? I was sitting there looking at NFL Jesus and being like, what do you know? They're neighbors, Houston and Indy,
yes.
right in the middle of the alphabet.
Deep dive.
Very deep dive.
Yes, out of Lefko Field.
Super out of
Lefko. Anything else on this game before we move on?
No. Nope.
I am going to say this.
Yeah.
You have 580 on Indy.
Yeah.
I know who I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Houston Texans.
Right.
The Houston Texans. Because the true thing is, the reason that I only put $10 on this game
yeah.
is at home, Deshaun Watson,
right.
a veteran team, like you said, having already lost to that team at that place. And also, man, I just... The J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney
sure.
shit. But, oh, I really like the Colts here.
Do you want to do your two quick questions before we move on?
Yeah, what scares you the most
right.
about your pick?
Oh, about my pick? Deshaun Watson.
And what in the end convinced you, you know what? No, I'm still going with this pick.
The Eberflus Frank Reich factor. I just think they're just – I'm going to give them the edge on both sides where I just go, I like what they do on that side of the ball, game planning-wise. I'm always excited to see what Frank Reich's going to do mm-hmm. like with his approach on a weekly basis. I would say ever since about the midway point of the year, I was like, oh, damn. I mean, I found it fun as an ex-quarterback to watch Frank because I was like, they always got like five or six like aggressive throws down the field and they find a cool way to do it, whether it's formation or, you know, a design that I haven't seen, whatever it is. Those are the things I think that put me over the edge.
What is really funny is, let me ask you both, this is a media NFL
I will
discussion
say that as
question.
I sit here, I feel less, I at some point feel less confident about my Colts.
Yes.
Well, I worry about any of them because I just, I Yeah, they're not a perfect team, but
I have a question, and I have two questions. Mm-hmm. My media NFL question is, a lot of people, when they're on TV or they're talking about their picks, will go, well, you know, I picked Houston as my Super Bowl team, so I got to have them winning this game.
Yeah.
Picked Houston as my Super Bowl team. I did not pick Houston.
Yo, good job.
Was I supposed to?
No.
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 Ride, you pick this week.
When you hear someone do that, what do you think about them as a broadcaster?
Super Bowl picks preseason are dumb.
I think that they're...
I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of being like, you know, I was pretty smart 4 months ago.
Right. Yeah. And a whole lot of shit's changed in those 4 months. And
I feel like anytime I watch a CBS, Fox, like any of those, they're like, well, you know, I made this decision 4 months ago. And
so I'm going to stand by it.
Yeah.
That's a good way to go through life.
And then I cannot remember my other question.
8:15 Saturday night, the Seattle Seahawks visiting the Dallas Cowboys.
Go
spread
Texas.
In this game is Dallas -1.5. Weather in Dallas on Saturday, 66 and sunny, Chris.
66 and sunny. Okay, Dallas.
Do they open their roof there, or that doesn't open?
No, it does. It does open. Yeah, it does.
Weather could be a factor. 66 and sunny.
They can put the hole in the roof on the top so Jesus and God can see.
Would you on Saturday, or would you keep it closed if you were facing the Seahawks near the Cowboys?
And it's 66 out? I would do whatever makes the stadium loudest.
Then I would close the top.
Yes, right. So that's probably what I would do.
God, that was a good answer.
Thanks.
I'm sitting there going, I wonder if Dak likes a little breeze in his bag.
Yeah, no, if I'm there, the Cowboys, I'm just going, I want it to be loud. I've never been to that stadium.
In your life?
No, I've never been.
I have been there multiple times.
I know. I was new, and I kind of just missed it on my way out. And
you know the game that I saw there?
What?
My first experience there was Texas-Nebraska Big 12 championship game.
Colt McCoy throwing it out.
Ndamukong Suh gets 4.5 sacks and 7 tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 sacks in one game. It was incredible.
Yeah, that was
incredible.
And
then Colt McCoy threw it out and it hit a railing.
Yes.
And that gave them enough time for
the field goal.
That wasn't, I don't remember the field goal kicker's name. It wasn't Tucker, but he hit it.
Was it not Tucker?
It was not Tucker.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Are you sure?
Are we sure? I'm almost positive.
Damn, that was 2009.
Because I've looked it up. Yeah, I was in Nebraska.
Seahawks, Cowboys, break it down.
All right, you going to tell us who the kicker was, though?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
Okay. 2009 kicker. I feel like it was Justin Tucker.
Let's see. Hunter Lawrence.
Damn it. Good job, Lefko.
I'll tell you what, though. Hunter Lawrence, that kid was born to kick at Texas.
I don't remember.
I bet you his hair swooped to the side, too.
Well, that's most southern schools
nice
in general.
Nice puffy vest. And are those boat shoes? Oh, man. Okay.
All right, you done now?
Yeah.
All right.
Is that a gingham shirt under that vest?
What is that?
It's like that design. It's like a box. It's pretty much like the shirt Josh is wearing.
Oh.
I don't know if this
okay.
is gingham.
All right, Dallas.
Dallas Cowboys. Here we go. Seattle Seahawks. Okay, here we go. All right, let's go. I think the thing I would start off with is the Seattle defense versus the Cowboys offense. I think the first thing is this. I would start by saying this, and the thing that I would like, that I do think that Dallas is going to play this way. I think this is the reason you've heard me say it. I think this is why we saw Dak Prescott play last week and their offense do what they do, because I think they're trying to build on their pass game, which has had some success as of late. So I would be shocked if the Dallas Cowboys just came out and were like, here, Zeke. Run in the middle. I mean, this is the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll. He's old school. His first thing is all week going to be stop Ezekiel. Stop Ezekiel. We got to stop the run. We're going to put 8 people by the line of scrimmage. They're going to be foaming at the mouth for that. And Ezekiel, it's also made comments during the week that he expects his heaviest workload of the year, and he feels as good as he's felt all year. And the O-line, a few of them have said things like that. So just from that base premises, I do think that Dallas realizes, too, that if they want to go to the Super Bowl, they do need that passing element. And they no longer can have this old school Dak Prescott quarterback approach of just, you know, running on first, running on second, bail us out on third. So I think they'll find a way to bootlegs, play actions, screens, cheap ways to get him completions, to get him going early on. Okay. I look at the Seahawks defense, and there's a lot of good, and everything in Seattle is going the right way. But there's just a lot of solid and good. I just would hope everybody knows that. There's things that are promising for the future, but the only really two above-average things in the Seattle Seahawks defense where I would go, it's pass really good and it's special, is two players.
I was going to say their linebacker.
Right, Wagner and Frank Clark. Those are the two guys that are true difference makers. You know, Jerron Reed's a fine player. Don't get me wrong. Tedrick Thompson at safety. I'm not even sure of his health status this week.
What about KJ Wright?
Yeah, good. Not the player he once was, but still good.
What about Puna Ford?
Yeah, moments, but still not where I'm going to go.
No, Frank Clark and Wagner can take over a game.
They can make plays to change a football game. So, yeah, I look at it that way. But I do think at the end of the day that with Seattle's defense and the way they play on the road, okay, that's concerning because that's a real thing. And the fact that, you know, a lot of the prime Dallas starters and their O-line, Ezekiel Elliott, are going to be healthy. I do think Dallas is going to be able to run the ball on the Seattle Seahawks. I would be shocked, really. You know my thought as this is already. I just look at these teams. They're very similar. They do want to win the battle up front. I understand all of that. But I also look into the fact of where we've heard the thing about Dak Prescott, right? It's, oh, they're only good against man-to-man, and we've talked about that a little bit. Well, a lot of the times, I do think Seattle's pass defense plays into the hands of Dallas because a lot of the times it ends up playing like man-to-man. Even though it's zone, you can get certain concepts that play man-to-man, and I think that favors Dallas and what they go against as well.
Is it fair to say that in the cover three, because the corners drop back and their backs face the quarterback, there's opportunities for a lot of back shoulders?
There definitely is. It depends how they play it. If they play the cover three the true way...
Because they've been mixing it up lately.
They've been mixing it up. If they play it the true way, their backs should always be turned to the sidelines and then they can see the quarterbacks, right? But they will play some man-to-man. But their corners, they're average guys. They're
and
nothing
one
special.
One of their safeties, Hill, is now on IR.
Delano Hill is in the IR, right. So
they're beat up back
then. They are beat up, right? Okay, so I just look at that, and that's a little concerning to me with Seattle's defense, which let's not – they have not been extraordinary. I mean, I don't know. You know, last week they let up points. Kansas City scored points. The 49ers beat them by 3 and scored 26 on them. I know they had a good showing against Minnesota the week before that, and it looks on paper like they had a good showing the week before that against San Francisco at home when they won 43-16. And I promise you, everybody out there, that the 49ers moved the ball up and down the field on Seattle and just messed up certain situations or fumbled or turned it over or missed a field goal or dropped a punt. It was all those type of things. But that's that side of the ball. And then when I flip it over to the other side of the ball, you know, this is what the first thing I worry about here in this game. I mean, you're going to see the Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints defense. That's who you're going to see. You're going to see that fucking crazed motherfuckers going crazy, foaming at the mouth. You're going to see that for the next 3 weeks out of the Dallas defense. There's just
at least 1 week.
Yeah, I think you're going to see it all 3 weeks. Now, I'm not saying they can win those games all weeks, but they will be able.
You just said the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl.
Well, no, I mean just if that happened, they can get to a championship
Instagram
game.
Yeah,
Chris Sims says Cowboys.
Cowboys will be crazy
Super
motherfuckers.
Bowl. Yep. Got
it. Crazy MF run to Super Bowl.
For the next 3 weeks. They do scare me there. Okay, we know that the Seahawks want to run the football and do that style of football game. I just don't see them being able to run successfully on the Dallas Cowboys throughout the game. They might have a few here and there because they do have some size advantages. You know, if they can get Dallas in the pass rushing O-line or the smaller unit that's on the field. But at the end of the day, too, if that happens, I don't worry for Dallas because if Dallas has to go man-to-man and play the Seattle offense man-to-man, they can do it. They can do it enough if they feel compromised in the run. They can do it all game long if they want to. This Dallas secondary is really good, and the Seahawks receivers are good but not great, and their offensive pass scheme is just good, not great. So I don't even know if – I don't think they have enough to expose Dallas if they play too much man, okay? Now, the other thing I would say this, the Seattle pass protection is still not great. It's nothing special, and that scares me. And they try to do their best to not really have them be in that type of football game where he drops back a lot and does that. I do think Dallas is going to get pressure on him throughout the game, and I think they'll be able to do it with 4. And I also think that Russell Wilson, who does not scramble as much this year as in years past, I think even if he scrambles in this game, it's going to be tough sledding. There's just too much speed in the front seven of the Dallas Cowboys. Those two linebackers, and they play zone a lot, but even if they play man, they're going to have somebody there watching Russell Wilson. They are going to run Russell Wilson down. I mean, Vander Esch and Jalen Smith will chase him down. And I do think the guys on the edge can chase him down, whether it's a Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, and those kind of guys. Now, where I do worry about it is Dallas is so freaking crazy and kamikaze at times that they do fall out of pass rush lanes and do shit like that. And then all of a sudden you go, there's Russell Wilson. He just stepped up in the pocket and he ran for 35 yards. And that's all he did because, you know, some guy was just like, oh, I got to get the sack. Rod Marinelli's yelling at me. That's what I worry about with Dallas because they're like a bunch of, you know, meatheads that way. But I think, let me just look at my notes to make sure I didn't miss anything here that I wanted to talk about. But I think at the end of the day, again, my base thought goes back to this. They are similar teams. They are really based on the same principles. Beat you up front. Let's be sound. Let's not mess it up. Let's let the other team mess it up. Let's hustle to the football and know our details. Except there's one team at home and there's one team that I believe is head and shoulders more talented than the other. Okay, Lefko? And because of that, I am going $1,000 on the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Because I believe this may be the biggest point spread of the game. Yee-haw! Come on, Dallas Cowboys! We got the Longhorns. Longhorns won the other night. Now we can go get Dallas one. Yee-haw! Let's go, Dallas Cowboys! How about them Cowboys? But I'm going to pick a 27-17.
I have one question for you. Did the notion that you're picking Dak and Jason Garrett over Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll enter your brain?
Definitely scared me. It was the only thing that scared me in this match.
Scary.
That scares me along with, like I told you, the pass rush moving out of their lanes and Russell, though, if you ask me two things.
Because I would say to you that the thing that scares me the most is Seattle's playoff experience.
Yes, I get you.
And their willingness to bootleg and roll him out could have huge, like, I'm just envisioning Tyler Lockett scoring.
Right. I don't worry about them being out of position on those type of plays. I'm more worried about the true drop back pass. And all of a sudden, the DN who's supposed to come around the
Lawrence
edge.
Lawrence flies
upfield. Inside. And all of a sudden, they got two guys in the B gap. And then Russell Wilson just like makes one move. And he's like, nobody's here. I'm gone, guys.
And Russell Wilson does that run where he's not really that fast, but he still gets like
50 yards.
But
you're like, damn, he's still got 35 yards, right?
Yeah, he runs like a Mario character.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go through. I went back and I rewatched week 3.
Right.
So Seattle's 0-2, Dallas is 1-1. It was like looking back at weight loss before photos.
Right.
Where you're like, this person doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Like the Cowboys offense was so bad and had no identity.
Right.
And two high ranking weapons for the teams were Brandon Marshall and Tavon Austin. Like, those were the two big weapons for the opposite teams.
Right. Ezekiel Elliott was still playing himself into game shape.
Earl Thomas had two insane interceptions, the one to seal the game and one in the beginning that he caught on his foot.
Oh, that was amazing, right.
That person doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, right.
So it was very funny to go back and watch.
Yeah.
Zeke stepped out on a huge touchdown where he just went up the sideline.
Yep, remember that.
The next drive led up this huge touchdown to Tyler Lockett on a bad assignment. They're down 14-3.
Right.
And then at the end of the half, Randy Gregory punches a guy in the face, setting up a Seabass field goal. So Dallas was down 17-3, which is the worst possible start possible in a matchup between two similar teams.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to yield a little bit of my time to ask you a question.
Yeah.
In a game in which time of possession and setting the tone is the most important thing, how do you figure out in your mind who's going to set the tone?
Yeah,
like when you're looking at a game like this.
Yeah.
Because that's my big question, and I don't know how to do it.
Exactly right. And I said them.
And yours
at the
was
end.
Dallas is going to come out like
Dallas
a crazy.
Dallas is at home, so they have the crowd to do that. And I do believe they are a notch above Seattle, like talent wise.
That was my big question.
So those are the things I would hang my hat on to go, I think they can impose their will on the other team.
Because as Dallas was making a comeback, Seattle spread out Dallas in the second half and kind of diced them up. Quick throws across the middle on the outside, Doug Baldwin, and then power runs up the middle.
Right.
And I saw that, I went, ooh, that's a way that Seattle could attack this Dallas defense. Mm-hmm. It's the way the better offenses have. Spread them out and kind of outside all that stuff. Zeke had a huge run at the end of that game and fumbled it. He had like 150 yards,
right.
And he didn't have a good game.
Right.
He could have destroyed that team.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and I looked at Seattle's last game against Arizona. Right. I didn't get to watch the game.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how it went.
Uh-huh.
You know what I saw?
What?
I saw Russell Wilson get sacked 6 times.
Yeah.
I saw their special teams get blown up. Like 2 punt blocks, like a number of other special teams issues. But Russell Wilson got sacked 6 times.
Yes.
And this is a much less athletic defense of line, at least than Dallas's.
Yeah, not as deep, not so, as good, any of it.
So then I went, well, how has Russell Wilson done against Dallas? Let me just check that out.
Yeah, sure.
The record looks good.
Yeah.
4-1, 2-0 in Dallas. The one game that he lost, he had 93 passing yards and 2 touchdowns.
That was Tony Romo. That was, what, 2014?
In the 5 games against Dallas,
yeah.
Russell Wilson has never thrown for over 210 yards in any game.
Yeah.
So it's never been a big Russell Wilson performance. Then I went and looked, well, how has Dak done against Seattle? Everyone tells me he's really bad against zone. Dak against Seattle is 0-2. One of those games was in Dallas. One of those games was in Seattle.
Oh, that's right.
The game in Seattle this year, he went 168, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Again, awful game flow for Dak.
Yes.
You're like down 17-3. It's the worst game. Like, I don't even count it.
And he wasn't playing good at that point.
The other game was 2017.
Mm-hmm.
In Dallas, he threw for 181, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Not a great game. Let me go back and check that game out. Watch that game. 2017 game, it was week 16.
Right.
Both teams were 8-6. So this was last year, fighting for the playoffs. Both finished 9-7.
Right.
Neither team made the playoffs.
Right.
But this was a game with a lot on the line
in
Dallas. Maybe I can glean something from it. If you remember this game.
Yeah.
Dallas starts the game dominating early.
Right.
With 4 minutes left in the second quarter, they're up 6-0, but they've dominated the game.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant fumbles.
Ooh.
Seattle goes, gets some points. Dak throws a very bad pick six in which he kind of floats it over the defender. The corner jumps into the Salvation Army bucket. His other interception was just a deflection off a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at that team and I went, see, that looked like the Dallas offense that I saw in week 3.
Right.
That's not the same one.
Right.
It was Zeke coming off his suspension and all that stuff.
No Colombo as the O-line coach.
Dallas settles for 4 field goals in that game. That was also when, I believe, the beginning of the end for their field goal kicker they cut. He missed that crucial 5th field goal to bring them within. But either way, I went, this one felt a little misleading too.
Right.
But I liked that Dallas jumped all over them early.
Mm-hmm.
I asked myself, How does Russ do in wild card away games?
Mm.
Because how many wild card away games has he played?
2.
Well, he's had
I'm just guessing, but I thought maybe it's
in playoff games.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is 5-0 at home.
Right.
He's 2-3 on the road. In his 2 wild card away games, they beat the Vikings 10-9.
Oh.
On the missed field goal,
yes.
Where Russell Wilson really didn't do anything all game,
right.
And the defense really got him there.
Right.
And the other one was the win in Washington.
Oh, that's right.
Which I believe was the RG3 injury game.
It was. You're exactly right. It was.
Didn't play that great. Didn't play bad.
Right.
Didn't play that great.
Right. No, this is the, then the next week they went to Atlanta and lost there.
And then I thought, okay, well, look, Seattle's much better at home. Their last 5 games, 4 of them have been at home. They haven't even been on the road a lot in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that no one's talking about, and you popped into my head, Dak in the playoffs. When Dallas played Green Bay, Dallas was coming off of a bye. It was Dallas's only playoff game that year.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott, in his only playoff game, threw for 302 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception.
Yeah.
An amazing game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why you popped into my head? Because when Aaron Rodgers threw that pass to Jared Cook, we were watching that game in this fucking office, and you went, Dak had an amazing game, and no one will remember it. You said, no one will remember it. Well, I'm fucking remember it. I have the Dallas Cowboys winning this game, and I'm putting $1,570 on this motherfucking game.
That's so crazy. What would have happened?
Did you see? Can I tell you the best part about that whole thing?
Yeah.
was when you made your pick, Josh was looking at me.
I didn't look at it. Because I know what's coming.
And I sold it, didn't I?
You sold it really well. Nice job, buddy.
That actually makes me feel good. It takes the pressure off me in that game.
Puts all the pressure on the Colts.
It does.
The fact that I'm getting...
But do you know what's crazy is... Like,
it's the only game I felt comfortable in. And this is what's crazy to me. Let me just wrap it up really quick. Yeah. It's scary because I have lost a lot of these bets over the years betting against the Seahawks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Detroit game comes to mind right away.
Right.
Where we thought Detroit was going to go up there and beat them.
Right.
But I felt confident because the game is in Dallas.
Right.
And that's the big thing. What scared me about this is I looked it up. The Giants this season, when allowing 100 or more rushing yards, the Cowboys this season, when allowing 100 or more rushing yards, are 1-5.
Mm.
Their one win was last week against the Giants.
Okay.
And so I'm a little bit worried. It's the reason I asked you this question in the beginning, is I believe if Dallas can set the tone, which is what didn't happen earlier this year. They didn't score enough points in their big 8-6 game last year. If they can set the tone and Russell Wilson has to run around with that D-line, I'm going to be at home, sitting back, feeling great. But if Dallas gets down 14-0, I'm freaking out, man.
Yeah, of course you are. I mean, if that happens, then their only way to win is going to be by like 1 point.
I felt a lot of confidence with Amari Cooper against this banged up secondary. I felt really good that Zeke was the one getting the rest. I felt really good that when I looked at Seattle's defense, they didn't travel well on the road. I get very concerned that I believe the three-headed monster of Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, and you're going to say I'm crazy, Michael Dixon, is amazing for a matchup like this.
I get you.
You have a coach that's willing to risk it all against a coach in Jason Garrett that plays sometimes like he's scared.
Right.
You have a quarterback in Russell Wilson that's not going to force it and can make magic. And Dak, we haven't seen him in this situation a lot.
Right.
And when I think about Michael Dixon and pinning Dak back, that scares me.
Yeah.
And that's my fear.
I get you.
I was in the shower with no music on going, Seattle, Dallas, Seattle, Dallas.
Well, no, the funny thing is I was very close to going 15-80 on the Dallas Cowboys.
15-70,
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
I really was. I mean, when we walked
Are
out.
Are you jealous?
Well, I mean, I almost feel like I still want to change it. I'm almost like,
too late now.
Can I tell you why I did my strategy?
Yeah.
You have a $400 lead on me.
Right.
I figured you might go 400 across the board.
Yeah.
When you did that first bet, I went, shit, because I need some of the craziness to happen.
Right.
I need to load up. So really what it comes down to right now is go Texans and go Cowboys.
You're
in
right.
a weird way, you got to root against the Cowboys.
Yeah. I don't have to. I mean, if my first game comes out the right way.
Yeah, if you hit both, we're right back where we started
then
next
we're okay.
Week.
But you're right. If it goes the other way, then I'm going to root for the Cowboys to win by 1 point.
It's actually a really good betting situation for me. I'm actually kind of covered, but.
All right, guys.
Yeah, you are.
We're
right.
moving on
good
next
analysis,
game here.
Though. That felt good.
You are good. You are covered. It's funny that we thought the same thing. And I think most people are going to chicken out on that bet during the game or during the week. And that's the one I looked at. And what the hell do I know about betting anyways? I'm just saying.
No, but I think
I think
terms
the
of
optics
game flow.
Make you look like you want to chicken out. But there's one team that's clearly better than the other, in my opinion.
And what was the line we got on that?
1.5.
1.5.
Well, oh, and my score, what was your score? I only did 23-20.
I picked 27-17.
I have 23-13 with like the famous Russell Wilson touchdown with 1:15 left and without getting the kickoff onside.
I hear you. Yeah.
All right, guys, moving on. Next game here, Sunday at 1:05, the Los Angeles Chargers the road visiting the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, it kind of
spread in this
me.
Game is Baltimore
like
minus 2.5,
and
weather in Baltimore on Sunday, Chris, 52 and sunny.
52 and sunny. That's good for them.
L.A. and Baltimore.
That's fine. I mean, man, 52. That's as good as they can
nice
root
day.
For right there. What the hell? Climate change is an issue in the playoffs right
52,
away.
You know what's funny, too, is I think I'll do my shit after.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Say it. What did you want to say? Nothing? All right. Chargers defense, Ravens offense. Okay. When I went back and watch this game a little bit, and I know we talked about this yesterday, two things jumped out to me. Okay? I will say this. Three things jumped out to me. Sorry. The first one is, and we talked about it yesterday, is the Chargers defense. Chargers defense was not pushed around as much as I remembered watching on TV, or just remembered in general watching that football game. Yes, there were some moments where the Ravens gashed them up the middle and everything, but as the game went on, I mean, the interior offensive line for the Los Angeles Chargers played pretty damn good, okay? And they really, I mean, they played very good. They were not dominated. In fact, I would say it was very close to a stalemate as far as the run game goes in that matchup, which is crazy to say.
I find it so genuinely warming that you and your dad went and watched the game and said, well, dadgummit, my eyes have deceived me.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a different game that actually existed.
Well, you know, TV can lie, right? You just lose fact of TV of, like, what actually happened. Oh, they broke off a big run, and you think, oh, they're getting dominated. And you look back at the game and go, oh, well, Lamar kept it around the edge for 20. They didn't really – nobody got, like, beat up or physically killed, right? They just called the right play or whatever. Either way, hey, listen, Baltimore's offense and what they do, it is tough to deal with. But the Chargers, I was encouraged physically about what they did. They keep 8 people at the line of scrimmage a ton. They tried to make a mess of things at times, too, with stunts just to, you know, kind of mess with the overall size of the Ravens because they can't match up always with the Chargers' speed on the defensive line. But, yes, the Chargers hung in there better against the power run plays than I gave them credit for. The other thing that jumped out to me is I don't know why, but as I watched that game, I just didn't realize how, like, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram whooped Orlando Brown's butt a little bit more than I ever expected in the pass game. Yes. Now, they still got Lamar Jackson. It wasn't game-changing, but it'd be something where Baltimore's going to watch that film this week and go, we can't leave Orlando out there by himself all the time. Right, that's going to be tough.
If only they had 4 tight ends they could use.
Yeah, right, exactly. So that was another thing.
That are all 6'5", 290.
Other thing is the Derwin James factor. And I think this is a huge thing for the Chargers. As the game went on, they always put Derwin James to the side of the back and shotgun, right? And why they were doing that? They were doing that for one reason, because they wanted to make sure Derwin was there one-on-one with Lamar when he kept the ball. And that was a big thing to me, because Derwin can handle Lamar. He's got enough speed.
So you're telling me if the running back is on the right or the running back's on the left, Derwin would shadow that so that if there was an RPO, he has his eyes only on Lamar Jackson.
He's there to be that contained guy to go, okay, there goes Gus Edwards. I'm on the side of the back. I know he's trying to go across the formation and make me go there.
If he does, I'll get him. Right. But if not, I'm here for Lamar.
Exactly right. He's the only thing, he's going to be there for Lamar. And then once he totally knows Lamar doesn't have the ball, which they're going to tell him to be like, slow read it. Like when they say slow read, they're going to be like, literally watch Lamar
and
for 3 steps.
Nod your head.
And yeah, right. Like really make
one
sure he doesn't have the ball. Right.
Two Mississippi.
Exactly. Then you could go back to your cutback lane
and
to stop Gus Edwards.
He's so rangy and athletic that he'll be able to make a play.
I would agree.
And,
yes.
And they're going to go, listen, if the other 10 guys don't stop him before you, then we fucked up, but we're sure you're going to get there after 8.
Yes, exactly right. So he's a X factor in this matchup just
so
from that
standpoint.
So when
you saw that, that made you more confident even though it didn't really work the first time?
Well, it did. When they started to do it, there was not as much.
They didn't do it the whole game.
No, they did not. It kind of became a thing as the game went on. Lamar kept the ball a few times and it looked like they made a conscious effort to go, you know what, linebacker, you bump in. Derwin, you stay on the outside there and be there ready for Lamar if he does keep
sure.
it. And I think that will be something they will do once again. The other thing I think that I should have said 4 things that jumped out to me about this side of the matchup. I think the Chargers are probably going to watch back that film and go, damn, we should have played more man-to-man and make Lamar Jackson make some throws.
What were they playing on the Mark Andrews touchdown?
Just your Seattle scheme, right?
Really? Where he, so there was like 4 guys chasing
exactly
each other?
Exactly right. It was all the underneath guys, and it was like just a 3, you know, kind of an all-go, and he crossed on
when
the
deep
go.
When I rewatched this game, I thought about you with this.
Right.
Why the fuck are the Chargers afraid of any of these receivers?
Exactly right, right? Yes.
Like
it's like the Kansas City Chiefs weren't the week before, remember?
Exactly. Right. But when I watched it, I went, I haven't seen Crabtree, Snead, any of these guys make one break and have more than a yard gap.
Right.
I didn't see a gap.
No, I know.
So they weren't playing that much man.
No, they were not playing a lot of man-to-man.
If they just manned up and had Derwin spy.
I think that's what you're going to see more of this time. I would imagine. I would imagine they're going to go, we're going to make Lamar Jackson make some tight throws. He's not going to get to, like, anticipate it into a window this game or throw a nice touch ball over the top to the Andrews like you're talking about. You know, so that's that side of the ball, okay? Now, the other, so I do think Lamar is going to have to be sharp in this game for the Ravens to win this game. He's going to have to be sharp. It's not going to be able to, he's not going to be able to get away, I don't think, this time of going like 13 for 24 for, you know, 195 yards. That's not, I don't think that'll get it done. I really don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Now, if I flip it to the other side, and when I watch that, things that jumped out to me in this matchup about the Ravens D versus the Chargers offense. First, the Ravens D is phenomenal. They are one of the few defenses in football that can match up across the board man-to-man when they want to. And their Martindale's ability to dial up a blitz right at the right situation or go all-out blitz, even against an experienced quarterback like Phillip Rivers, since he doesn't do it a lot and he calls it the right time, it can catch guys like Phillip Rivers. But the big thing would be this is, and I know there was no Melvin Gordon, but
Or Eckler.
The interior O-line of the Chargers is a little scary. I mean, it's a little scary against these big fuckers we know in Baltimore, right? Okay, so that scares me. Screen game. We see the Chargers very good at screens. Like, the Ravens made it their point to go, that's not beating us. Like, we're not going to let those cheap freaking plays ruin this game for us. So that was taken away. And Phillip Rivers was as flustered as I've ever seen him in the last 2 years. He was... One, I feel like a little intimidated by the fact that, damn, there's a lot of big people around me, all right? And he was a little jumpy in the pocket. And, I mean, Phillip Rivers is almost never jumpy in the pocket.
His first half was super jumpy.
Right, and they took away some of his easy throws. I think a few times he went to read one, read two, and they weren't covering. He goes, oh, my third little shallow cross or something could be open.
My late Trevor Williams across
the
stream was
and they
not
always
there.
Had a guy there. Whether they zone blitz
like the
or Chargers, drop somebody out.
I feel like every Chargers pass play is a fan route. I feel like it's like one guy going deep, one guy going across, and one guy underneath.
They do a lot of those type of concepts.
It just feels like every play.
They do, and they mix it up and do it that way with a lot of different combinations. But you're right. That's definitely a base premises of what they do. Okay, so that's another thing. So I guess here's the last thing I'll say to this. Just going back to a little bit about the Ravens did on defense last week and what I saw, too, against the Browns. The Ravens last week had a hard time when the Browns went four receivers to a side. It could have been three receivers to a side with the back also offset off of Baker Mayfield to a side, or just four receivers to a side. And it messed up the Ravens' rules a little bit. And Cleveland got a few completions.
Uh-oh.
And the Chargers...
Is there a team that's more capable of
running
a
bunch? The Chargers do that. They do it. They can do four to a side. So I would think they look at that and go, ooh, we can tinker with that, okay? But I guess the big thing I would say is I do think it's good that Phillip Rivers and this Ken Wisden and everybody got to see this defense once before, certainly. And I do think that Rivers either has to be ultra tough or just have a really good day of movement in the pocket if they want to win this game, okay? So at the end of the day, I am going with the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm only putting $10 on it. But I think the Chargers are going to win this game. 20-17. Oh, don't fly by that little raven. I know it's meant for bugs, but you will get charred the fuck up. You better watch out. 20-17 Chargers. Tough one.
So I looked at, I rewatched that last game, obviously.
Yeah.
And a few things stuck out to me that I thought were huge benefits to the Ravens. I thought one was the playing surface in general. I thought it was a mess.
Yeah.
And Baltimore just seemed, because they're a downhill running team, that it was their advantage. The Chargers were trying to cut. Wide receivers were falling all the time. It was just too much. The other thing, I think looking back, man, the Ravens got a lot of really big calls.
Yes, they did.
There was an early offensive pass interference on Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a huge catch by Mike Williams, and they called another penalty on them there. And then one time Mike Williams was running down the sideline, and they didn't call PI at all. I just thought that a lot of the calls benefited the Ravens.
Yep.
Also, to what you were saying about the Lamar's going to have to make big plays.
Right.
When I went back and looked, I forgot. The last like three drives of that game, the Chargers kind of figured out the Ravens' offense and said, Lamar, you got to beat us.
Yeah.
And if you remember, I believe like two or three of those drives ended in sacks in which Lamar was holding on to the ball and was indecisive and couldn't make a play.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that game, this is the Chargers game to win.
Yeah.
They had a lot of big plays. They just had fumbles or dumb mistakes. You know, Justin Tucker was able to hit a few 50-yard bombs.
Yeah, right.
He really missed one.
Right.
I looked it up. In the wild card round of the playoffs, John Harbaugh is 5-0, including on the road with a rookie Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh's made for this shit. He really is. I also looked and realized, because I saw some people talking about how Baltimore in the first half is a pretty good bet.
Oh, right.
In the last three games, the Chargers have only scored 17 points in those first halves combined.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens have scored 36 points in the last first half. So it's an interesting bet to kind of look at. The Chargers have scored 0 points in five of their last eight first quarters. So the Chargers have notoriously started slow, which is a very good game flow for a Ravens team that's going to want to establish the run and get it started early. But in the end, I looked at it. And I thought, it's John Harbaugh and Lamar versus Lynn and Wisenhunt and Phillip Rivers. I see the Ravens controlling this game, but I just don't see this offense making it big enough to stop Phillip Rivers on a mission. And I think at the end of the day, the Phillip Rivers mission is a more powerful force in the ethos than the Lamar Jackson mission is.
Yeah, right.
And I'm taking the Chargers 20-19 because Justin Tucker is going to be kicking himself a lot of field goals in this game, and I'm putting $10 on the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
It just might be the last time.
But it might be three more times. We don't know.
San Diego.
Chargers, charge.
I believe that equal and opposite reactions happen. I believe that if you go one way, it's going to come back. And I feel like the Dallas-Seattle game went everything in Seattle's favor, and I see it coming back. And I think that a lot of the stuff went in Baltimore's favor. I think that the Chargers are a better team on the road. I could see Lamar starting this game off a little bit kind of rusty. And I do think that the depth of the athletes on the Chargers is going to be enough.
Yeah, I hear you. I just can't wait.
Not want to bet against Phillip Rivers.
I couldn't either. There's too many unknowns. And, yeah, you got our young quarterback who and Lamar Jackson who's still finding his way as a thrower and these type of situations. Yeah, I'm just going with Phillip Rivers in this situation. I do think this is awesome. I love the fact that this is the third time or the second time they're playing in 3 weeks.
What makes it so great about
because,
it?
Like, in the NFL, when you play a team like that, like fresh still to remember, it really becomes more personal. It really does.
And these are teams that would take it personal,
yeah,
too.
They're still going to remember things that Melvin said to them on the field. They're going to be like, that mother effer said this about me. I'm on a more.
Hey, can we be real?
Yeah.
We met out Melvin Ingram.
Oh, I mean, yes.
Like, do you know what he's going to be like in this game?
I mean, I think he wants to whoop you just from the Best Friends episode still. So
He's a nut job.
Right.
In
a good way.
Oh, in the perfect way.
Right. In a defensive and quarterback sacker way.
I'm just checking something really quick.
Yes.
Phillip Rivers, I just looked up road playoff games. Just out on the. I'm not coming with good or bad. He's 2-3. He lost his last one, which was in 2014 at Denver.
Mm-hmm.
17-24, he threw 217, two touchdowns, one interception. The game before that, he was also on the road. I believe that was a wild card game. He beat Cincinnati 27-10.
Right.
128, one touchdown, no interceptions. And then he went to Pittsburgh and threw 308, three touchdowns, one interception. He's really only had one bad road playoff game.
Was it the New England
AFC
Championship?
It was the New England game,
when
AFC Championship.
ACL.
So how about that?
Yeah.
211, two interceptions, no touchdowns.
Man, I remember that game. That was Rivers and Brady stunk it up in that game.
But here, think about this. Is Phillip Rivers in the road in the playoffs for his career? That game, he had a quarterback rating of 46. I think we can all excuse him since he had a torn ACL.
Right.
His other four games, these are his quarterback ratings in descending chronological order. 116, 119, 105, 133.
Yeah.
I know we don't put a lot of stock in the quarterback
rating. No, but there's something to be said. It's a element you just take to, you know, make some points and just, yeah, there's things to be taken from that.
Yes.
I'm with you.
All right, guys. Ready?
Yeah.
So why did we feel comfortable taking the quarterback there over Russell Wilson? It's just the overall team?
Yeah, I think it's the overall team. Like, I'm not. Dak Prescott's a little more advanced than Lamar Jackson, so that's what I would say there.
Gotcha. Yeah, and he's been in the playoffs before.
Right.
And he's in his third year, right. Fourth year.
All right, guys, final game of the weekend here, Sunday afternoon. I just made a typo on the sheet, so I fixed it.
Stupid little Joshy.
Yep, that is me. 4:40 on Sunday afternoon, the Chicago Bears hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. Spread in this game is Chicago -6. Weather in Chicago on Sunday, 41 is the high, and it will be cloudy.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, that's not too bad. And what's the windy? What's the wind, does it say?
13 miles per hour. All right. Out of the east.
Not going to affect much there. Okay, so that's cool. That's, you know.
Sunrise, 7:18 a.m.
And then, so this is going to be a night game. So what's the low for the day? What'd you say it was?
Low is 39.
Right, okay.
Could rain late in the afternoon.
Oh, geez.
So,
who does that help?
Check that. Periods of rain after midnight, so no rain during the game.
Oh, no rain. Okay, yep. Thank you, weatherman. Thank you, Sam Champion. Okay.
Sunset, 4:34 p.m.
Oh, it's going to be dark right around kickoff. Okay, so Eagles-Bears. Let's go with the Eagles offense versus Bears defense.
How does Trubisky play in the dark?
But the how does he play? This doesn't count as prime time because it's not kickoff after 7 o'clock, even though it's the biggest game of his life. It's not prime time.
All playoff games prime time?
I think all games in the NFL are prime time.
I don't think
any quarterback goes in.
Thanksgiving noon is also prime time?
Yes.
That's what I thought too.
I think everybody thinks every game is prime time, okay? All right, so the Eagles offense.
You know what really fucked up your whole theory on that?
Right.
Kirk Cousins' pregame speech about flex scheduling.
What he said.
You were like, every game is prime time. And Kurt's like, do you know why they moved us to the 8:30 slot on Sunday at NBC? Because we're the Vikings.
Right.
It was like, what are you doing? What are you, the TV guide?
Yeah, no, I know. And, well, he also had to answer comments that week about playing in prime time. And he said, every game is the same. So, okay. But, you know, he was channeling his inner Josh in that speech, right? The Eagles offense versus the Bears defense. Bears defense is the best in the NFL, for my money. I know that's debatable with the Ravens and the Cowboys and all of them, but if you made me pick one defense, I am going with the Chicago Bears as my defense. This is where I think the Eagles pose problems for Chicago. I mean, Lefko, as you know, the Eagles' offensive line is healthy, right? And they're big. I mean, they're big. You know, Kelce and Wisniewski are not real big guys. I get that. But Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, and Peters, I mean, those are some big mofos right there, okay? But either way, with it being healthy and 100% everybody across the board for the most part, the O-line has improved. It's been better in pass protection, and you've heard me complain that they've been running the ball up the middle bit more, right? Which, you know, it annoys me they hadn't done that all year. There's definitely been more attention to running up the middle. I do even feel like Nick Foles has been under the center a little bit more, which I do like that for the Philadelphia offense. It gives the up-the-middle run game a little more, you know, what do I want to say? It just sells it a little bit more, and it helps with play-action passes, right? So I look at all those things. My big thing is this. I don't really think Philadelphia is going to be able to run the ball in Chicago. Like, I just don't.
You don't see Wendell Smallwood and Josh Adams?
No, I don't. But what I would say is this, don't stop running it just because don't be afraid to be in 3rd-and-2 and 3rd-and-3 like we said in the other podcast. The one thing I admire about Philadelphia lately is they have not been scared to go 3rd-and-2 is a great situation for us where most teams in the NFL wimp out in like 2nd-and-9 and they go, we need to throw for 10 yards right here and then it's 3rd-and-9. And Philadelphia has been very patient to go, oh, 2nd-and-9, we'll throw a screen or we'll run or we'll throw another short pass and get in 3rd-and-3 and then the defense doesn't know what we're going to do. Screen, throw, Sproles around the edge on a wheel route, you know, Ertz over the middle, you're screwed. You're at their behest. So I want them to run the ball just to keep the Bears honest and to help your play action passes. Now, the real advantage you have, and to me, this is where the game's going to come down to, is can the Philadelphia Eagles do a little bit what they did last week? And can they dink and dunk the Chicago Bears? Can they, you know, 3 yards here, 5 yards here, 6 yards here?
Their drives were like all over 10 minutes long.
Yeah, they were forever.
They were on the field for like three quarters of the game.
It was a slow death. And Now, the one thing I'll say is this, after watching the Bears' defense yesterday, and you heard me say this, is
they were all over the Vikings concept.
The Vikings had crossover concepts because that was DeFilippo, who was from Philadelphia, so of course he had some of the same things. There's nobody who runs more shallow crossers or the guy 10 yards over the middle and turned to the quarterback than the Philadelphia Eagles. And I would also say there is nobody better at defending those plays than the Chicago Bears. Now, they also got to see the Vikings do that last week and saw how the Bears defend it. So maybe they have a few wrinkles ready for it this time around. But that'll be definitely something I watch for. The other thing I'll say this about Nick Foles, and he's better at this than Carson Wentz, and I'll give him this. And I was kind of saying this, and on the NBC show this morning, I said it yesterday, and they had a graphic that backed it up. So again, I always feel good when I say things that I'm seeing with my naked eye that I'm not charting.
It's a good way to qualify an unqualified statement.
Exactly right. And his ability, like we've talked about, to throw with people around him and pressure because he's a big guy, it is impressive. And
oh, was there like a next gen stat of like throwing under pressure?
Nick Foles is first in passer rating when he's hit as he throws,
and when he's under pressure or hurried. Right, he's phenomenal.
In the
numbers
NFL.
Bear it out.
It's really funny. We marvel at Carson Wentz's ability to escape.
Right.
We marvel at Nick Foles' ability to not
stand
be able to escape,
yeah,
but just get smashed in the
Wentz
face.
Wentz just goes, "Let me see where I can throw
backwards
a real quick,
spin.
Boom, right, and I'll throw it." Where Wentz sits there and goes, "I think I can make this guy miss and then break this tackle, and then I see that 50-yarder coming down. Oh, I got sacked. Oh, darn it." You know, that's what happens. That's the difference there. Foles knows, I'm not going to be able to do all that. I better just find a safe place to throw this ball as I'm getting hit, and he's good at placing the ball correctly. So that's the thing I will look for. Can they dink and dunk the Chicago Bears? I would say no, but I don't feel great about that, okay? I'll just say that much. Now, the Bears O versus the Eagles D. You know, the strength of your D, we've talked about this a million times, is your defensive line. You know, the Bears O line's very good. It really is, and they're healthy. Man, I have a hard time thinking that your defensive line can steamroll that bunch. And that's what worries me about your secondary a little bit, because Nagy is a pretty creative game planner. I don't want him to waste all his good plays in the first 10 minutes of the game, which he has a habit of doing.
Like every Bears game.
I mean, it's every game. He's got
every game, it's right. Like, wow, wow, wow. And then the right. Second and third quarter are...
I know. Da-da-da-da-da. He almost has to take 3 hours out of his life this week and come up with a, you know, first 15 for the second half to like almost do something like that, or have things you save for the second half, which is what like a Doug Peterson or Andy Reid do, where they go, yeah, we love these plays, but I'm going to save these four for the second half, right? So I look at that. The Bears do have great balance. I worry about your secondary if you guys can't get pressure, just because, one, they do have good physical weapons, and two, they have a well-rounded pass attack. Now, Trubisky's ability to consistently hit throws is going to be certainly a question mark for me in the football game in general. And the other thing would be this, and you've heard me say this, it's hard to play man-to-man against the Chicago Bears, or you better be careful, because Mitchell Trubisky will run the ball. Mitchell Trubisky is arguably the best scrambling quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I would say Josh Allen's one.
Yes.
Okay. But he's in there with Lamar and Deshaun Watson and all those guys, right? I mean, it's pretty special what he does there.
There's a lot of good mobile quarterbacks right now.
There is. I would like to see the Bears be a little bit more aggressive with their downfield passing game, because I do feel like teams kind of get a feel for them and they start to squat on things. And the other thing that scares me about Mitchell Trubisky's running is, man, your pass rush is so undisciplined. I mean, it's Jim Schwartz, and you got a bunch of meatheads, and
we just
got
to make it happen.
We got to get him and get him, and I don't care if none of you are in the same gap. As long as we get him, it's okay. Well, that could be good until.
Who are the best pass rushers for the Eagles right now, from your estimation?
Like
Fletcher Cox, obviously.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox is the most dominant guy. Long has come along lately.
Long looks better lately.
Right.
Michael Bennett looks like a force.
Michael Bennett's the best pass rusher.
So this offseason, I went on to a radio show that said that Michael Bennett was old in the tooth. And I said, the thing that you're not realizing is the man played almost 900 snaps a year for Seattle.
Right.
And now he's coming to a team where he doesn't have to. And my hope before the season was, at this point of the year, Bennett would be fresher at this point of the year than he ever has been.
Yeah, sure.
They were not rotating him in Seattle.
No, not to this extent.
And if they're going to have a chance, he needs to be ecstatic. But Where has Brandon Graham gone?
No, it's been underwhelming the whole year.
That's why they're expected to let him go.
And same with Chris Long. It was underwhelming the whole year.
So other than them, who's there?
Yeah.
The Hector guy you like?
He does a good job, certainly. It's been just an improvement altogether by all of them. I don't know if Chris Long has had an injury issue or whatever. But, no, I mean, I don't think I'm missing anybody there as far as that group that I just
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's that great of a pass rushing group.
It's not last year. I
want
to tell people the Bears are you guys last year.
You're right.
That's what I keep trying to tell people, but nobody can see it because Foles is quarterback, and it's just like, no, we're last year, and we're here again. And I want to go, no, the Bears are really what you guys were last year, okay? So that's where I just look at that a little bit. But I guess that does concern me. And I don't know if there was another point I wanted to make on that side of the ball, but I guess I'll just get to the point. And I am putting $10 on the Chicago Bears. Yes, I am going to pick the Bears to win this game 24-17, which covered the 6-point spread. I would not be shocked if the Bears really made, like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears won this game 24-10 either.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
I told my friend, he's a Chicago, Danny Parkins, he's a Chicago radio host. Texted me 24-10.
24-10? Yeah. I mean, I
he
can
said,
see
what's your score?
20-10, 24-10. But I don't know. I am still scared of the Eagles because you're the Super Bowl chance and you do have belief and Nick Foles has belief. And that scares me. And that's why I won't bet a lot of money on this game.
I get it.
Yeah.
I wrote down copious notes. I filled other pages for all the other games. I wrote one sentence.
Yeah.
Philadelphia wins, and I have no freaking idea how, so leave me alone. I'm a fan. I'm putting $10 on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
They'll go into Chicago. Nick Foles is back. Look how long his thing keeps goes. I don't know. I gotta stop. That was bad. Okay. I really just want to, like, ask you questions about this game.
Yeah, let's go.
Because, like, I cannot pick Eagles games to save my life. I just have no idea. But I think the reason I have hope is we're up against a quarterback that's never played in the playoffs and a coach that's never been in the playoffs with a quarterback that pulled off incredible feats. And your stat, like, I'm stealing that. Number one passer rating under pressure, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's what you have to have to beat the Bears.
Right.
For me, my hope on offense is I hope they bring out the trick plays. I hope that Doug Peterson, that they keep out-coaching themselves because of Carson Wentz.
Yep.
And it's a lot of smart trick plays that we haven't seen before. We're talking Philly specials, like whipping them out in this game. I don't care. I'm talking about flea flickers with, like, Nelson Aguilar. I don't want necessarily the screens because I think Chicago's so fast they'll sniff those out.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd like to attack Prince Amukamara. I believe that. I don't think he's as shut down as maybe he's being able to be made.
No.
I also, the guy that I fear the most in the Bears offense is Taylor Gabriel.
Sure.
Because I am afraid of the deep shots. I'm not necessarily afraid of Allen Robinson. It's going to suck when Tariq Cohen makes big plays. I don't think Jordan Howard's going to have that big of a game. I really hope the Bears try and force it. But my hope is that the Bears make mistakes. We are outclassed as a team. I'm thrilled that it's not a super cold game because I don't believe Nick Foles plays that great in the cold. But I also think that, you know, if it doesn't start off great for Trubisky, we got a chance.
Yes.
Because that dude can get into his own head and start sailing some balls. And I've been impressed lately with Avante Maddox. I've been impressed with some of the secondary members.
Yeah,
I've even thought, like, LeBlanc has, like, played pretty well last few weeks.
Yeah.
Some of the linebackers coming back. Look, Nigel Bradham in a big game is fun to watch. That man can make things happen. But one big Fletcher Cox hit, we're in this game.
Yeah, sure.
And I
would just say, don't let again, something we always say about your team, and you've been really good about it lately because your front four has been playing better, is just don't put your guys in the back end and compromising. Don't give Mitchell Trubisky the get-out-of-jail-free card with Nigel Bradham man-to-man on Tariq Cohen and a wheel route. You know, those are the things I...
Would you rather attack Mitchell Trubisky, or would you rather contain?
I would rather contain.
I think you'd almost play Mitchell a little bit like you want the Chargers to play Lamar.
Yes, I would. I would contain, and I would go, I got to see him execute and make decisions and make accurate throws, which we know are some of the question marks about him. Yeah, I would make him do that and execute. Then if you go, okay, damn, it's been two drives in a row, and he's on today, and he's then you have to change things up. But that would be something I would go, as an Eagles defensive coach, I'd go, I got to see that first to believe it.
Because for me, the thing that scares me about the Bears is a little bit what you said about the Eagles. I'm afraid of the crossers.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of the underneath. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of the setups for the Tariq Cohens and all those guys and all that. But I'm not necessarily as afraid of Mitch going deep.
Right.
I'm just afraid of the Taylor Gabriel if he does catch the one deep ball.
Yeah, right.
Because if Taylor Gabriel catches the one deep ball and gets that touchdown, I don't really feel that great.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I really feel great about. Mm-hmm. Facing Cody Parkey.
Like, yeah, scary.
Like, the Bears are a team that could push the Eagles around for 12 plays and 80 yards and settle for that 34-yard field goal.
Yeah, miss it.
And we get all the momentum back. And you know what else? This is the truth, because this is a fanhood thing. Who did you just say the Bears are?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
Right.
It's funny to look back at that Eagles-Falcons game now. Falcons come in.
Oh, right.
Divisional game.
Yeah.
And all of the pressure was on Nick Foles. If you remember what we were saying back then, he had just come off an awful game where he played like a half against the Cowboys. He had an awful game against the Raiders. And the talk in that game was, if it starts going south for Nick Foles, Philadelphia is going to freak out. Because it's like, oh no, we're letting go of all of this good stuff. It's wasting away. All of our fears are coming true. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe that Bears fans are going to poop a brick if Mitchell Trubisky starts slow, if you don't think that you're going to start hearing some whispers and some boos in the second quarter, one of our producers, Karen, is a huge Bears fan, and a lot of Bears fans right now are feeling really cocky. You know who gets scared the most? The people that have been cocky all week. The Eagles are going in with no fear. They're already dead to rights. They shouldn't be here. And also, if they're down 14, guess what? They're used to it. They were down. They were getting their ass kicked by the Falcons before they turned it around. You know who's not used to coming from behind? The Bears. If this goes bad in the beginning, I'm telling you, Bears fans will eat themselves inside out. They will be so consumed with fear because this is their beautiful season they want to protect. This is it. And the crazy thing about the team of destiny is that that shit changes sides quick. It does. And if you start getting in with fear, you know who doesn't have fear? The team of destiny. I'm just saying. Like, I know this is me kind of pumping myself up.
Yeah, it definitely
but
is.
But I can already.
If you guys go down 14-0, you're going to get blown the fuck out.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, blown out. They're going to rush three and still get there.
But would you agree with me that if Trubisky's not good early, Chicago is going to sound like a graveyard?
It's going to make all of them play tight.
All of them. Because the defense is going to go, man, it's a bad Mitch game. It's a bad Mitch game.
Sure, yeah.
And then they're going to lose gap integrity.
Who knows what happens from there?
But what did you think of that whole thing I just did?
I don't even know what you just did right there. You just flustered yourself up to match the color of your sweatshirt with your cheeks.
No, but seriously, though.
No, but seriously, I mean, listen, you
so
guys
that was
are scary.
All nonsense?
No, it's not nonsense. You guys are scary. You definitely are. This is the best defense you guys have played all year, okay? That's what I like. Scheme-wise and player-wise, it's a double whammy.
It's the second time all year that Khalil Mack has been the second best defensive player on the field.
But you've been protecting awesome lately.
That's a bold statement.
And that is a bold statement. But I am going to be, yes, you've been protecting great lately. That's the big thing.
Let me just pick your brain really quick. Which defensive linemen typically are on the right guard and the right tackle for the Bears?
For the right guard and the right tackle.
When they're playing
for the
a defense,
Bears.
Who's usually over the right guard and right tackle?
Are you talking about the Bears defense you're asking me? Sorry. It just depends on the formation itself. But you're going to have Eddie Goldman or Akeem Hicks over your guards, right?
That's, so Brandon Brooks will destroy them.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Brooks should be fine with any of the matchups. I mean, Brandon Brooks, for me, is one of the better guards in football. You know, and then who'd
what
you
about
say?
Lane Johnson. Who's Lane Johnson battling against?
Yeah, well, that could be a number of people.
Is Khalil Mack facing Peters more?
He moves around, but he would probably see Peters more. Yes, he's going
who's
to
guarding
see Peters
Ertz?
More. Ertz, you could
Trevathan or Roquan.
Yeah, or it could be one of the safeties, and then Eddie Jackson if he's healthy, or Amos, or somebody like
and
that.
Who's matching up with?
But
Alshon.
That's what's great. They don't play a ton of man to man. You know, that's why they're
who's
why
leaping
they're great.
With Alshon.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, okay. I would think nobody's okay. going to leap with Alshon. They don't have that size there. Fuller's their best cover corner, that's for sure. He can lock down Jeffrey, but is he going to catch break up the 50-50 balls? No, that'll be we'll see that on Sunday.
Are you the most confident that the Bears are going to win, or are you the most confident that the Cowboys are going to win?
The Cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys are not like you know, you match up okay with the Bears. You do. I mean, there's no doubt about that. There's some scary things there for the Chicago Bears.
And I just want to say this to clear my conscience.
Yeah.
The Eagles making the playoffs is already a successful season to me. And the reason I say this is this. When they lost to the Saints by a million, everything that week was, is this the worst team after a Super Bowl ever? We've never seen a Super Bowl team get beat like this before. There's been countless Super Bowl teams that have not even made the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
And for the Eagles to come back, mm-hmm. they surprised me. It's a testament to them. I love this team. And Chris Long versus Kyle Long is my favorite matchup of that game.
Yeah.
Kyle Long has already come out and said, I don't even know that guy,
I love it.
All right, guys, recapping the bets from this week. Indianapolis at Houston. You guys are both going with Indy. Sims, you have 580 on it. Lefko, you have 10 on it. Seattle at Dallas, you are both going with Dallas minus 1.5. Sims, you have 1,000 on it. Lefko, you have 1,570
on it. Just change my Colts one and put all of it on the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
L.A. at Baltimore.
When would I have been able to change it?
Right. Once you say it verbally,
that's over?
It's locked in.
Okay,
but if you decided right before on the podcast, I've said that live changes are allowed.
Right.
But
I feel like Lefko changed once
he
after
not.
He said it.
This is a classic that. Sims move of just trying to put that in my brain that maybe I screwed
no,
it
what
up.
What really, happened, once, what really right. happened was Josh sent that text saying, how much money do you guys have? And then he later texted me and said, however, I will say it would be cool if one of you happened to put 1570 and I already had the email in my inbox going Dallas 1570
yeah,
and
right.
I went, oh, well then maybe you like this.
Oh, you're talking about today.
Yeah.
Okay. LA at Baltimore. Baltimore minus 2.5. You're both going with LA for $10. And Philadelphia at Chicago. Spread is Chicago minus 6. Sims, you're taking the Bears for $10. Lefko, you are taking the Eagles for $10.
Sorry, I swore so much today. I'm just excited it's playoff football. It deserves a few swears.
I agree.
Yeah.
Let's wrap
good.
This thing up.
It's tough ball. It's
where
tough
will
time.
You be watching the game Saturday?
I'll be at my house. Yeah.
And then Sunday, you're doing the pregame show.
I'll be in the pregame
what
show.
What time does that start?
Gosh, 4 o'clock. It's like a 30-minute pregame show.
So let's give a little behind the scenes. When you're on TV at 4, what time do you get there?
I will be there probably by 12:30.
Golly.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you're going to watch the other game first.
Yeah, I mean, usually we have to be there by like 12 or 12:30 when the game's at 8 o'clock at night, so I'm not getting there earlier than that. I know that.
I hope not. Where are you watching the games?
Probably on my couch.
Okay.
Certainly not.
Join you.
Not with you.
Why?
Maybe with you. We'll
maybe not the Eagles game. I might watch Saturday with you.
Okay.
I never know how to watch Eagles games. I'm a mess.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch at home.
Last year we watched together though, right?
Falcons Eagles.
Yeah, we rooted for it together.
Thank God for Keanu Neal's knee. Always love that knee.
Seriously, right?
What a knee. Gave me a Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
For Sims.
Peace out, homies.
For Fendrick.
Good evening, everybody.
And I am the LEFKOE.
Man.
And we will holla at you later, hopefully on Monday, Tuesday, we're talking about the Eagles. Peace.
Hopefully not.